Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege of being in your presence, which you have ordained unto us, and of your own thinking, your own way, Lord, apart from any consultation with us. You have done this, and we are very grateful. Coming even as you came to Israel is a great surprise. The king in the midst of them, they knowing it not, but you revealed to some whose eyes were blessed, whose ears were blessed to see and hear those things which were spoken of by the prophets, and we find ourselves in the same place tonight. We are very happy and grateful for that. We're grateful, Lord, for the wonderful name you put in our midst, to know that that is your name, and yet it is our name by espousal, by bestowal. And we are grateful for that, knowing that redemption therefore lies within the bride tonight. The full purpose of Almighty God, going back to the very beginning, but clothed in flesh. We thank you for that. Now, in our study, Lord, may we come very near to you tonight by study, Lord. May our minds be illuminated, the light of God shine in, illuminate our very hearts, the light shine upon our path, the righteousness of God be our portion. We're looking forward to this and believe it is ours in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Now, tonight, we want to go into message number 11 in Ephesians chapter 1, 15 to 23. Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance of saints. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him in his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all things with all things. Now, we'll look at verse 17 again, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, in order that not one person here miss the impact of the understanding of this verse, we take two quotes from the prophet relative to it. Number one, the spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, which really means that which brings the church in and revealing what day we're living in. So Brother Branham says here that the spirit of wisdom comes into the church, revealing to the church himself, bringing the church in, and letting the church know the hour in which it's living in. Just the same as Gabriel came to Daniel, the Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal the great deep secrets. And then second quote is in From the Stature of Perfect Man, this first one is Daniel 70 of the week. In the evening time it shall be light, that's when comes Christ, the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes down and sets himself at the head of the church, then he will resurrect the church, being his own body. Now, you notice that these quotes, the two quotes, unequivocally and categorically set forth two major premises or divisions, and they are telling you two things you must know about. One, that is, there is to be a revelation. The Spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Now, whatever is being done requires a revelation. And your revelation, therefore, will be placing you in that which the prophet says is taking place. One is bringing the church in. And you understand that this isn't fully in line with Scripture, according especially to the book of Revelation, where in chapter 3 the church goes into utter and complete darkness. Christ is outside the church calling a bride to himself. Also, the day in which we are living. This also is important. To know the hour in which we are living, and the Holy Spirit reveals that to us. In other words, whatever is in this hour, an imminency will be with us through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Now, he says this comes just the same as Gabriel came to Daniel. That is, an angel came to bring this revelation. The Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal these great deep secrets. Now, you notice that Brother Branham categorically stated that the seven angels would positively be the Holy Spirit. Now, you catch that when he says in seal number one, oh, what a mistake I would have made, but the Holy Spirit swept into the room. And then in seal number seven, he said, I was wondering if you would catch what was taking place all this week. It was those angels. So here we see Brother Branham, when he preached in Daniel's 70th week, I would hardly give him credit for knowing what he actually said. And this, therefore, would not be of himself. This would be an inspired prophetic utterance of this hour, which he was privy to by the Holy Spirit, and it would come in that manner, and then it would be fulfilled to us. As I say, I doubt it because of Brother Branham's own startling experience when that mighty constellation came to him. And you will notice the second thought is a resurrection. And in quote number two, in the evening time it shall be light. In other words, at the time of the revelation, that this spirit of revelation comes down to bring the church out and in. When the church will be alive with the imminency and the knowingness, you might say, that compelling knowingness in her, the hour in which she lives, and you can't shake her from it. Angelic visitations, where the Holy Spirit himself embodies himself. Great deep secrets coming out of the Word of God. At that time of light, that's when comes Christ, the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes down and sets himself at the head of the church. Then he will resurrect the church being his own body. All right. These quotes are seen in two sets of verses. 17, 18, 19, 20. Number one, the revelation. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints. And then notice, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Now you'll notice the concentration of power, where it is directed and for what purpose. The concentration of power is in the bride and is directed, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now, I do not obviate the probability, the possibility of mighty things being done in the bride and the third pull, but the bride has seen her last sign. And what we're looking for in the realm of power is the resurrection, which he, when he raised him from the dead, then follows the rapture and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Now, we want to go over that so we understand what the prophet is saying, whether we agree or not. And I would think we pretty well all agree here tonight. He is saying that there is to be a very real and definitive, revelation of the person of the Holy Spirit to the church just before the resurrection, when he, the Holy Spirit, will bring a needed and promised revelation, which he has not yet given to the church, nor can give to the church until that time. This revelation precedes the resurrection. And because it precedes it, it is only logical to understand that this revelation is necessary for the resurrection and then the rapture. Now, in the light of Revelation 22, 18 to 19, which we will read at this moment so you'll know what scripture I am referring to. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now you will notice that this is applicable only when the seals are opened, because it mentions the right to the tree of life. Now, which is identical in respect to the book of life. Because the book of life suddenly does not allow for death. But the last recipients to receive immortality will simply not die, but they'll go into that blessed state. Now, in the light of Revelation 22, 18 and 19, then, we understand it is not a new or added revelation to the Word, but one whose fullness and depth had to wait upon this visitation in the hour of the resurrection. To understand that, and I repeat, that this is not then a new revelation, as though it were something added to the book, but that it becomes a definitive revelation, which was there all the time, waiting for the hour of its specific manifestation. We read in Ephesians 3, 1 to 7, giving you the understanding how this works. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Now, I'm just going to go back to the book of Acts chapter 13 and just hit you with that exact thing that Paul said. Now he says here in verse 46, and when Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you have put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Jesus himself said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also must I bring. And the promise of Abraham was to all nations. For so hath God commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou should be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now that could not happen until that hour, even though it was in the Scripture. And the revelation at that hour, because it was for that hour, came in its complete sovereignty and fullness, which it could not come before. Now we'll take another example, what we're talking about. We go to the book of Daniel. We take chapter 12, 1 to 4. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and lasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many righteous to stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now this tells you that which is to be unveiled at the end time, as I read this, I would place this at the time when the true prophets come to Israel. And it's at that time under them that this revelation comes into manifestation and full being. Also, we go to Revelation chapter 10 and 4. And I'm using these illustrations to show you that this is this revelation in Ephesians, that chapter, that verse just before the resurrection, there is a revelation coming forth. Now, in Revelation 10 and 4, and when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Now, they were forbidden. But notice, and I quote this many times, Revelation 22 and 10, and he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now, that unequivocally tells you that hidden in the beginning were those seven thunders. But at the end time, when the book is unsealed, those seven thunders must come into full revelation. And there's nothing you're going to do about it. So you see the principle I'm laying here before you. Another illustration. We go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. And read verses 3 to 8. And the voice of him that crieth, wonders, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. Crooked places made plain. They're up straight. They're up places made plain. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh shall see it together. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. And all the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withered. The flower faded. Because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withered. The flower faded. But the word of our God shall stand forever. Now, that absolutely was clothed in a mystery. But you go over here to the book of Luke. And you'll read in John, in Luke 3, 3 to 6. And he came into the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for remission of sins, as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked shall be made straight, the rough way shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of the of God. Now you see, that was a revelation given back there. But it was something sealed in the book. And it had to wait until the time when that revelation could come forth. And that revelation had a purpose. The purpose always is to identify. And when something is identified, then people are identified with it. Now, in order to fully understand this, to clear all doubts as to how this works, we take the example of Jesus himself. We go to the book of Galatians, the fourth chapter. And in the fourth verse, we read, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law. Now, let's go back and just see this fulfilled in Scripture. We go to Matthew 13. Now, watch what it says. In 16 and 17, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. That goes plumb back to the book of Genesis, where the seed of the woman is going to bruise the serpent head. And I want you to know something else right now. That word in the Hebrew is in the plural, seeds. But you will notice that Paul puts it in the singular. Singular. Therefore, there comes a time when the bride in Christ will bruise everything by the power of Almighty God. So you can see here what we are saying. This is not something that someone dreams up, that someone comes on the stage, as even Dr. Bloomfield, fine brother, he said, now those seven thunders, they're not in the Bible. And he said, God will have to raise up somebody to tell us what they are, but he made a mistake. The very thing they tried to get Brother Branham to fall for was that he could make himself somebody over that word. And Brother Branham said, no, he said, that won't work. He said, you see, you can't add or take from that word. It's in there. It only requires a revelation. Now, the people knew those thunders were there. But it had to come at a certain hour when those thunders would come into revelation, and it must be pertinent to the people. That's why I said this revelation is pertinent to the resurrection. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Huh? Everybody understand? Anybody doesn't? Let me see your hand. Don't be bashful. Brother Evan's not the only old school teacher. I'm an old hack myself. But I got so bad with the lecture method, I just lecture. But you see what I'm saying? It's pertinent. The revelation was there. But the revelation could not be fully exposed because the hour of the power that lay in the Word was not to take hold. But you see, it's resurrection time. And everything follows a revelation. See, and everything must be revealed. Okay. Now, I want to go over something else, I believe. In fact, I know I've mentioned it different times and place it even more emphatically than I had previously. It is that Ephesians chapter 1 is in three segments. And that 1:17 to 23 is the third segment, which is separate and distinct from segment number 2, which is 12 to 14, though it is not seen to be so by the majority. Then, of course, segment 1 to 11 would be the first segment. Now, we're going to read it, and so we turn to Ephesians 1 and start reading. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, And to the faithful in Christ Jesus, even to the faithful, I guess you would use the preposition rather than the conjunction. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now notice, there's nothing that God can do except it comes through Christ. There's where you're getting your Logos. And the Logos became flesh in order to perpetrate redemption by the blood. You follow me saying? All right. That's a simple statement. According. Had it chosen nothing before the foundation of the earth. That goes plumb back. Say the Logos of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before Him. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. To the praise of the glory of His grace, when it made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now you can see right there that Paul is preaching John. In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. See? And then notice how he goes right on and says, John says, the only begotten is of whom the Father he has brought him forth through exegesis, which is the leading forth and the showing forth by word. You've got the same thing here in the Apostle Paul. See? There is no way the Scripture does not dovetail. His brother Branham said, they all try to tell you that Bible makes mistakes. He said, I've yet to find the first man that can prove there's a mistake there. He said, they just read it wrong. They get it out of Cater, see? Now, wherein is abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He purposed in Himself. Now notice what the wisdom of God is when it comes right down to it. It's God making you aware of Himself in relationship to you. Amen. Why? That you may come forth in voluminous praise toward Him in adoration. Amen. You see what we're looking at? All right, now, that in the dispensation of fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. See, it's got to go back to the Logos. Amen. If it wasn't there, it's not going to be. Now, let's face it. If it wasn't in there, it must be annihilated. Amen. Because they cannot exist together. No way. Now, in whom also gather together one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we obtain inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Now you notice that Paul here is setting the picture of the sovereignty of God dealing with foreknowledge. See? Foreknowledge. Then he swings into predestination through election. Now he lays it out and he said, you are a part of it. Now that's the first section. The first section is the theoretical. In other words, what God had planned, what God wanted for you and me in love, and by revelation, we become privy to it. That's why Brother Branham said the rebirth is a revelation and you're part of it. Now, if you don't have a revelation when I'm talking tonight, let's face it. You need prayer. You need to come to the altar, although that won't do it. You need to come to Christ in repentance, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and seek the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you. Amen. I'm not playing tonight. I don't play anymore. Amen. Because we haven't got time to play. When I preach, this word becomes life. Amen. You change. You don't leave here the same you came in. I'm going home never to preach again. See? I don't believe in fooling. This is the mightiest thing that ever hit the world. A resurrection is in the making. See? Now that's what we're looking at here. Now, he sets this forth as the tentative, as the blueprint, as the diagram. And he said, I wouldn't be preaching to you, but you're a part of it. I can't waste my time on people. Not that I've got such wonderful habits and I'm such a glorious person that I simply couldn't waste my time. I don't mean it that way. Amen. I identify with the Apostle Paul. He was preaching to those who were a part of it. Amen. Christ's calling a bride out. He's not preaching to the world. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Brother Branham came to call a bride, he said, of such character to stand still to listen to the message. Of such character to stand still the waters of separation she dressed. See, he identified.
This is what we're looking at, is identification. And he identified them with the first section. And I'll tell you how he did it. In whom you also hoped. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you received that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And he said, by the baptism with the Holy Ghost, you have proven you're redeemed. And you that will be joined with everything in the heavens in his name, and that which is in the earth, and you are in the earth in his name, you've got it made. Now, number three. Wherefore also, after heard of your faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks, making mention of you, in my prayers. And now watch. He's praying for these people that he's identified with Almighty God through Jesus Christ. They all was worrying him in the beginning. Word made flesh. He says here, now look, it's identified. And he turns around and says, I'm praying for you for section number three. And you tell me how you consider tonight and know one thing I'm saying unless you're full of the Holy Ghost. No way you're not going to get it. You just won't get it. Paul never made a prayer the fellow down the street going to get something. He made the prayer for those who are part of the plan by evidence of being full of the Holy Ghost. Now he says, what does he say to those people? The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now he's not talking to the individual. He's speaking to the church. The Logos that came in a singular cloud and separated himself over each one with a tongue of fire, and everyone received an infinitesimal portion of God, eternal life. Now he says to the body, because he's talking about the fact of the inheritance and all coming together. Amen. This is end time. Amen. Now he said, I'm praying that God may give you the Spirit. That Holy Spirit may come into the church, not the individual, into the church, and bring about a revelation that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now this is not the enlightenment. This is not the enlightenment which has been previous. It's a special end-time enlightenment. See? Wherein, as Brother Branham said, the Spirit of wisdom comes to the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, bringing the church in and revealing what days we're living in. Now, he said, just the same as Gabriel came to Daniel. Now, that man came in order to reveal the deep secret things of God. But he said, close the book. But the book becomes open. Every secret is made known. The mysteries of God are made known. And when those mysteries are made known, now let's face it, the revelation precedes a manifestation in the saints. The manifestation we're looking for is resurrection. So therefore, as sure as we're living today, there is going to be a resurrection, and we're already into it. You see? Now, and I speak more in terms of the immortality that we're looking at rather than coming out of the ground. That's for those that are dead. Now it says here, this mighty revelation that's given you is followed by the exceeding greatness of his power to westward who believe. Now we saw a lot of majesty and power of God. Brother Branham could stand there and he said, why? He said, the words of a man won't do this. Certainly they won't do that. No way. Only the word of God could do it. And he said, I was just a voice standing there. And he said, these things had come to pass. He said, don't have a thing to do with me. I'm just one handy. All right. Now, the tremendous power of God that was manifested in Jesus when he stilled the storm, see, and he broke the loaves and fishes was nothing compared to the resurrection. And let's face it. Remember that when Jesus raised Lazarus, Lazarus died. Because he was raised previous to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, the efficacy of the blood of Jesus could not do anything for that person in order to make him immortal. It was absolutely out. The mighty power of God is in the resurrection. I remember one person many years ago said, with the finger of God, he casts out devils. with the hand of God, he led Israel out of Egypt. But he said the arm of God was made bare when he raised Jesus from the dead. In other words, God's absolute power was brought into effect when he raised Jesus. Now he said that same power will be in literal manifestation following the time when the Holy Spirit returns to this earth in revelation. So that the people will know that this is the hour. Now listen. I said a while ago, I'm saying again. There must be an imminency of understanding and feeling and compulsion within us if we're really in that hour. And it doesn't mean for 1 minute that we're going to put dates. You can know that resurrection is right around the corner. You can know in your heart that you will not taste death. You can know that. I believe that. But it doesn't mean that you will know that year necessarily. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you won't know that year either. What I'm trying to say is this. It doesn't do with dates. It does with you as a person. Never mind the date. See? But that's if people don't want to let go. They're too back in Pentecost. All right. Three distinct sections. And it says, after the resurrection, God raised him at his own right hand, put him in heavy places, and he put him far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named. Not only this world, but the world to come. And it says there that God put Jesus above everything, so that nothing had any effect upon him at all which was adverse. In other words, everything he was complete heir to on grounds that he deserved it by reason of what he did. Now listen. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. Now it tells you right there that God Almighty has a plan wherein he is putting everything under the feet of Jesus Christ, and the bride, identified with him, will find herself with all things under her feet. That's the multiple seed over the bruised head of Satan. Because I'm going to, you know as well as I do, Jesus does not come back upon that white horse by himself, but the armies of heaven, which are the saints in white linen, are coming down to take possession and to rule with the rod of iron. Now we see that Paul desired that verses 15 to 17, the revelation, belong to verses 12 to 14, which were already identified with verses 1 to 11, as the foreknown and predestinated word of that hour. I said they were the foreknown, predestinated word of that hour, and he tried to associate 15 to 17 with them. But he couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Now it's got to be associated with somebody. Now notice, Paul used the word may. Now if he'd have just turned right around and says, I'm praying, bless God, we're going to get that spirit here, Paul would have been a false prophet. You know, a lot of people don't understand how the men of God back away. They know better than to stick their heads in where they don't belong. Brother Branham backed away. People never could understand it. Paul was backing away here. He said, I know it's got to come someday. And he said, everything is propitious. Because she was a virgin that hour. But he said, I don't know. I don't know. He said, I pray. Paul had to use me as permissive to them because when the spirit of revelation came, then came the resurrection. Now you see, the spirit can't come until the time of the resurrection. And the resurrection can't come unless that spirit is there in revelation. See? Now notice what came with the revelation. I read in 21 to 23. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. See, there's going to be the resurrection, and this would come with it, where the bride was completely caught up with him, far above all principality and power, and all things were under her. All right. Listen, be read careful now to see a certain chronology, and certain events are now, even now transpiring. We're going to read again 20 to 22. Which he wrought in Christ. Now watch. I said this is for our hour. We have been identified by the prophet. A true prophet stood in America. He traveled the world almost 7 times. What he did was not done in a corner. He was absolutely authenticated. That man stood there and said, this is that hour that the Holy Spirit comes into the church. Amen. Identified perfectly. Absolutely proven. You cannot get away from it. Now, he says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that's named, not only this world, but also that which is to come. Now watch. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things for the church, to the church. Now especially are we looking at the first part. And hath put all things under his feet. Verse 22. The A part. And hath put all things under his feet. Now our emphasis is under his feet, and it has to do with this hour as concerning the bride and her resurrection. And the revelation starts it. Okay. Our emphasis then is on under his feet. Under his feet comes at the time of headship, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name this name, not only this word, but also that shall come, and hath put all things over his under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So our emphasis is on under his feet at the time of headship to the bride, because that's what he's talking about. Until this time, he is not in complete headship. How can he be if the body's not all in? How can he be if it's not the hour for the resurrection? Because it's everything joined in heaven and in earth. And those in heaven come down here. Amen. Of the New Testament. Then we're caught up together with those. And all together will later on come on down. Alright. Now, what I have mentioned here. What I've just said. Subjection, under his feet, and headship. Now watch. What I have talked about here takes us right to 1 Corinthians 15. Now watch carefully. I'm not pulling any tricks on you. But you've got to listen to get this. 20 to 28. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now watch. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his parousia, at his presence. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign, to put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is left out, which did put all things under him. Now that's a clue, you see, who's talking about what. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subdued unto, subject unto him that did put all things under him, that God may be all in and all. Now, did you get the transition I just made? I'm going to go just hold your finger there and go back to Ephesians again, because I don't want you to miss this. And hath put all things under his feet. He's talking about that at this particular time. What time? Of the resurrection. Praise the Lord. See? Now, that's of course we read in Ephesians. We go back to Corinthians. They that are Christ at his, that's the, and it said the first fruits, the ones coming out of the ground, they that are Christ at his presence. So therefore we see now that there is a resurrection here. Then it says, then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom of God, even the Father, put down all rule and all authority. He must reign till all enemies are under his feet. And then he hath put all things under his feet. And the story here is what was brought to us in Ephesians. A resurrection there, a resurrection here. So we got a transition. Now, you see that from Ephesians 1, 19 to 20. Now let's go back and take a look at it. Watch. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who are bride? According to the work of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him in his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name's name, not in this world, but which is to come, and put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things church, which is the body. Now, you will notice here that the bride shares in this position due to his headship. You follow what I said? You got to understand it. Now listen, brother, sister, I can tell you negative things, and I can tell you about things out there. It won't do you one bit of good. You've got to know what's going on. Brother Branham said all the time looking back, all the time looking forward, but missing what's going on. This is exactly why I've received anointing to preach what is going on, because I have not looked back. I have not looked forward. I have obeyed God. And God rewards obedience. See? Now listen. It's at this time of resurrection and headship. He said he comes down, sets himself at the head of the church to raise the dead. He's quoting the Bible. And he identified it for this hour. You follow what I'm saying? Now don't scratch your head. Smarten up. Take a brick and hit yourself. You're sitting there sleeping. Look, if you want to miss it, that's your business. But don't bring an incomplete spirit in here and rebellion. I can knuckle down and be a sore. I can be a sore head. Don't think I can't. Because we're not fooling. Because there's people here ordained to life.
Amen.
And you don't get this simply by yourself.
Right,
takes a prophet of fivefold ministry. And I'm part of that.
Amen.
I don't have any pillar of fire, but I got a frame of fire.
Amen.
That's called the spirit of prophet, identified by the prophet, identified in the book of Revelation. I know what I'm talking about. He's here. And he set himself at the head of the church in order to raise the dead. The bride's in it.
Amen.
See? You're not looking at somebody down the road or somebody back there that hasn't got the kingdom. But listen, I'm going to tell you right here. The bride is literally the same position as Jesus Christ. When they said, what time's the kingdom coming? And he said, you'll never know it. Because it comes without observation. It's in the midst of you right now. And there's a bride right now in the midst of this world. By him all things are made and all things are maintained. Yet people don't care 2 cents about it. How can they? They're not born again. There's no revelation. And you've got to be a part of that revelation to be a part of it. I'm sorry, brother, sister. I've got to stick to what I know to be the truth of God. There's no way you can duck it. No way you're going to duck it. Yes, sir. Now he says here, quoting again from my notes, where the head is part of the body. And whatever position the head assumes, the body is part of it. And where the head is, and what the and what the head enjoys, is all a part of the bride. Now, so when we consider the true meaning of subjection, because that's what we're talking about. All things being subject. Now we're talking about a bride. We cannot afford to let our minds deceive us that just because enemies of him are all being destroyed, that we are being relegated to an inferior position. Now, that's the first thing that strikes us. Well, he's going to destroy the enemies. Right away, fear strikes the heart. Oh, it's going to happen to us. Haven't you heard? You're part of the body. We weren't. Betrayed by our father Abraham. It's a superior position because the woman has everything by vow in the marriage vows that belongs to the man. So people think, why do we always denigrate ourselves? Why are we always looking at ourselves as though we're back in the old image? Why do we pray God, blessed Holy Spirit laying within us, by our multifarious confessions of negativity? I've often said, we have a false humility. We say, well, dear Lord, I used to not anymore. No more. I've had it. Dear Lord, I'm such a skunk. Why, it's that. Who gives a bit? But Lord, I'm such a guy, this and that. And, but I'm going to tell you something. That's telling God he didn't do the job right. But the day of judgment, we won't be telling God he didn't do the job right. We'll be screaming to God,
amen,
hoping he'd done the job right.
Amen.
Now, why not start now? You say, well, I don't know if I can do it. Let me tell you something. Brother Brandon said, truly, true seed never changes. The original seed never changes. All right. Superior position. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15 again. 21 to 22. But for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. All right. 42nd verse. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Sown in corruption, raised in corruption. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. How much power? How much power has there one resurrected man got? I told you, he can defuse every hydrogen bomb. He can confuse every man. He can drive us all crazy. He owns the earth, lock, stock, and bear. One resurrected man.
Amen.
When you're raised in power, what are you? This is that hour.
Amen.
You all, we look at Moses and say, and Brother Branham quoted, what are you doing there, fella? He said, I'm going down and take over Egypt, bless God. What are you? I'm a one-man army, hallelujah.
Amen.
Where do you get this up? He's with me.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Let me tell you, brother, sister, I might not be bold enough yet, but I'm getting close. I'm going to own it all.
Amen.
Yep.
Praise
do what you want. Why should I make God a liar? I made him a liar long ago, spit in his face. Don't ask me to do it again. I call different guys bluffs, so I'll call anybody bluff. Raised in power. Sown a natural body. Raised a spiritual body. Faster than thought. There's a natural body and a spiritual body. So, Fap, who wants a natural? Depends what resurrection you're coming up in. You want the first resurrection, supernatural. Second resurrection is more natural. It's got to be. Or they wouldn't fight God visibly open. First Adam was made a living soul. Last Adam, a quickening spirit. And so on down the line. You can read it for yourself. Tell me. Is the body any less than the head? Or is any body any less than any head? You got the right head. I'm talking in terms of the right head. That body will be a right body. That's what's wrong with us. That's where Eve got messed up. She let the devil get her thoughts. From then on, it's all downhill. No body means no head. No head means no body. So we are seeing a new creation rise at this time. A new Adam, a new Christ, resurrection creation. You say, Brother Vail, I don't see it. I'm not surprised. You don't see it if you don't have the revelation. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not interested in the resurrection. I know I can make some of you people feel very, very full of wonder why I'm not. Because, you see, I don't intend to die.
Amen.
You say, Brother Bill, what if you died? Then wonderful, I'll get the resurrection.
Amen.
Dead men want a resurrection. Dying men want the tree of life. Now, I want the resurrection to come. The quicker it comes, the quicker I get my tree.
Amen.
Not Christmas tree.
Praise
bride tree.
Amen.
See? See what I'm talking about?
Amen.
New creation. Resurrection creation. Let us go even further. This subject, this subjection, is actually restoration. For in it, God is taking us back to Eden, to the original placings of Son by God Himself. Now, see, I'm not dealing with subjection like I said a while ago. Enemies are going to be destroyed. Ooh, oh, I'm going to be subjected. Oh, my. He's not talking about that. He's talking about a harmony, which you can read in page 119 in the Spoken Word's original seed. Restoration. It is a unity. We are now one with Him and each other. In Him, and in heaven, and in earth, uniting now.
Amen.
Say something. Those resurrected ones, I think, have got to be up there with Him. The seventh sphere. Where else would they be? All right, now, what's He going to do? He's going to come down right here. That's the Logos. To stand with the resurrected ones. To bring them out of the ground. Then we get changed. Then
everyone that's in him, from heaven, that's left there, and those that are here, go up and meet them in the air, wedding supper. See? So what we're looking at here is a unity. A unity in him and each other. That's why I said a few years ago, this church would go back or forward. Now, you can do what you want, what I'm saying here. I'm going to ask you a question. Did you go forward?
Amen.
Not in my book, you did. You went backward. I'll be honest, I'll look you right in the eye and tell you flat. You went backward. You never caught the vertical or the horizontal. You never caught it. This is the hour to catch it. And we're catching it. One.
Amen.
I and my Father are one.
Amen.
Then everyone else becomes one in it.
Amen.
I might hurt your feelings. I'm sorry if I do. That's your tough luck. You listen more carefully next time.
Amen.
You go forward or backward on your revelation. There's nothing I can tell you other than that, and I'll prove it to God later on, why I say the very things I say because I follow the prophet. It is this unity then whereby we're one with him and with each other, for this is a spousal time. The marriage is back on. The marriage was off. She became a prostitute of the word. So God had to bring them up, one few at a time, out of each age, until the last age, she turned right back. The espousal is back on. Now, let us be careful to listen and understand. This subjecting or renewing through the Spirit of God is a promise to the bride. Now, see, a while ago, I pointed out that you pick up the word enemy. So, boy. And you think, I've been an enemy to God. You haven't been an enemy to God. Your flesh has been an enemy to you. But you are not an enemy to God because God was reconciled through Jesus Christ's death.
Amen.
See what I'm saying?
Amen.
So get that out of your mind. You're not an enemy.
Amen.
You're not an enemy. Friend. God said to your friend, shall I not tell Abraham, my friend,
Amen.
What I'm about to do? Has he not told you what he's about to do?
Amen.
And what are you? Friend.
Amen.
Friendship with Jesus. Fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. Now, this is happening to the bride. And hath put all things under his feet. And gave him to be head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness to fill all things with all things. That is in process now. Because he is here setting himself at the head of the church to bring us all into one. In a glorious resurrection. So the promise is to the bride of this moment. Don't start thinking you're going to miss it, because you're not going to miss it. Now, if you think you're going to miss it because of your inadequacy, let me say amen. You will miss it because you're inadequate. But we're talking about him.
Amen.
Oh, say, bless God, he's going to come down, and he's going to come down. Did you say he's going to raise the dead? Oh, I think I got my wires crossed up there. Let me see, now, who is going to raise the dead? Now, you know, what if Joe Bush doesn't want to come out of the ground? And what if John Doe doesn't want to come out of the ground? Second resurrection, they'll come out whether they want to or not, and they'll do it here. Because God raises the dead. You see, what I'm trying to get you is get your faith up here, brother, sister. It doesn't have a thing to do with you. God is going to raise the dead. He has come down to do it. You're forgetting what the prophet said when Adam and Eve sinned. God could not trust an archangel. He could not trust a cherubim. He could trust not an angel. He only came down himself. And he that began it is the same that will finish it, because he said, I'm going to put a cherubim there lest he goes to the tree of life. Today the cherubim has been removed.
Great.
Now, what God is now doing is promised payment to our new Adam for the bride falls heir to what he has purchased. In other words, God is paying Jesus back, and we get the benefits. As Christ receives all things of God in payment, the bride now receives it vicariously by grace. That's what we're trying to see here. and put all things under his feet and gave him to be head. Then who's the feet? The church is the feet, the bride. Then who's trampling the elements? Who's trampling Satan? Who's going to come down? Bride's going to come down. Let me tell you something, brother. She comes down when this world's a stinking mess. She's coming down with Jesus. And the atomic bombs have fallen. And the earth is a terrible place. And men of wickedness, supreme wickedness, bestiality are here. Cursing God. Defying the Lamb. Who comes down? Logos in flesh. With myriads of those that are glorified flesh just like his. The bride receives everything vicariously. Everything is given to her on a golden platter. This subjection is the fulfillment for the bride, and I would liken it to the book of Romans, the 5th chapter. So you might understand a little more thoroughly what I'm saying. Beginning at verse 12, wherefore is by one man sin into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned, for until the law of sin was in the world, but what sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that did not sin after the new Jude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, but not as the offense. So also the free gift, since through the offense of one man he be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded or overflowed unto many. And not as it was by one the sin, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. He's telling you, he's making a comparison. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they that receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification. And remember, at the end time, you can't even have a guilt imputed to you in the presence of God. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That's the elect, the many. Moreover, the law into the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. In other words, where men can point out your sin and condemn you, the grace of God overflows us, has not received a condemnation, judgment against those people. Now listen, that a sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign to righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. In other words, death comes to everybody, except at the end time the grace of God is proved so supreme, he stands there and holds death back and men walk into eternal life. I'm trying to show you something here. You look at yourself what you were in Adam. Forget it. Forget it. Stink is stink. But perfume is perfume. And he's known as the Rose of Sharon. He's known as the Altogether Lovely. He's known to the bride as a sweet incense and an odor in her nostrils. I'm going to tell you something. Has your breath ever been so bad you could taste it and literally smell it through your nose? I never have had bad breath that bad, but once in a while, through some fluke of circumstance, colds or something, real sickness, I have had a real taste of bad breath. And you people sitting here, with your constipation, and I suppose a lot of you indulge in that, you have bad breath. But take a little swig of perfume. Bad breath's gone. The odor in the nostrils gone. The stench is gone. I'm trying to tell you something here. Adam stinks and reeks with death. Amen. And the smell and stench of death, Christ is redolent and overflowing with life. And the sweet incenses of Almighty God. Garments full of myrrh. I'm trying to show you that, brother, sister. Get your eyes where they belong.
Amen.
Don't look at anything against you. Look at what's for you. That's what he told me. That's the revelation. See? All right. You can see that this which is going on now is nothing short of a sovereign word of a sovereign God sovereignly brought to pass in the bride. Oh, yeah. You're looking at where God told me not to look. The government is now going to put the B1 instead of the stealth. Lavin proved his point correctly. B1 is not it. Stealth is it. Right? We've got smart engineers here. Don't you don't give anything away. I'll tell you flat because it's already in the newspapers. It's all around the country. Smart men know it. But Congress, I guess, voted, what, 80-some to just a few votes again? And you look at that and you say, the government's not very smart. It isn't. Had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known he was here, they wouldn't worry about bombers.
Amen.
You look at the newspapers. They tell you critical things out there, and it scares you. That doesn't have one thing to do with you and me.
Amen.
Forget it. You can work it up to your eyeballs. When you go home, forget it. Take your paychecks and enjoy them. I guess I'm talking pretty personal. Some of you better than sitting here that are good engineers. Go ahead. Forget it. Start looking at this. This is for you.
Praise the Lord.
Don't feel bad that you're engaged in certain things. Don't feel bad. Keep on doing your job. You're called to do it. But you keep your eye on the revelation.
Amen.
That's going to get you out of here.
Yes.
I don't care about bombs falling. I don't even make jokes about the Pope anymore. I'm not going to set a petition and get people voting. No, I'm finished. See, he told me right. And I can preach it.
Praise the Lord.
My brother, sister, I cannot spend what I do not have. Or I destroy myself that much more. But I can spend what I do have. This is mine. So you can see that which is going on, nothing short of a sovereign word of a sovereign God sovereignly brought to pass in the bride. How? Because he's the head, and it trickles down from the head. Every joint supply comes from him. Maketh increase of itself in love. Listen, making her the living word. Listen, a veritable Logos bride. She is getting all the way back to her original position in foreknowledge, yet clothed in flesh. You know, I like my flesh. Oh, I don't have a beautiful build. You know, I'm not one of these, you know, gladiator-type guys with the bull structure and the big shoulders and thin hips and, you know. You know, I like my flesh. You say, well, I don't, you liar. Don't lie to me. God makes you liar right here in your wedding ceremony day. Says right here, men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. My body is a wonderful piece of furniture. It's a glorious carcass. It really is. I'm not here to make the music. I'm telling you the truth.
Praise the Lord.
My sense of smell can smell the beautiful, truly delicious, fragrant odors up there. My hands can feel. My eyes can see. I'm going to preach this sometime, so I'm going there very quickly. My ears can hear, my tongue can taste. I'm sensate right down to the line. I don't want to lose it, and I'm not going to lose it. I don't have to lose my body because I'm Logos. I'm going to take it with me. I bypassed the spirit body to come into this body, lost all remembrance what was there in the spirit body back in the Logos, that I might come down here and fulfill God's will. I am not going to lose my body. Paul the Apostle knew it. And he said, if there's no resurrection, forget it. Or you say, but Brother Paul, oh, surely, Brother Paul, we don't need a body. We could be up there floating around. He said, forget it!
Amen.
All the way back to Logos. All the way back to original foreknowledge, yet clothed. You be that?
Amen.
The truth, I'm not lying to you. I am not lying to you, because if you were in him in the beginning, you are in him right now.
Amen.
If you were apart then, you're apart right now. So, you can readily see from this that if he is the word, she can be no less. He's Logos, she's Logos. If he is manifested word in his season, huh? Then she isn't hers. Right? I'm not talking now through the ages. I'm talking about the real thing. That he is here now, first fruit. First means number one, then 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or millions. I don't know. First fruit means more of the same coming. See? Who raised him? God. Who's here? God. What's he doing? Putting himself at the head.
so the body can come right in subject. Nothing inferior, tremendously superior. Nothing coercive. Strictly a harmonious life. Nothing under. One with. You know something? It is my head that gives my body these lovely sensations.
Amen.
What about what's coming?
Amen.
Why do you feel lifted up? Why do you feel at times when the prophet of God preached an even lesser degree here, much, much lesser, that it's just as though heavenly perfume came down.
Amen.
And you felt so good that you wanted to fly. Fly on, eagle, it's all right. One day you'll take your flight. I'm going to tell you, you'll do it in this body too. Don't sell yourself short. He had his season. He is going to give us ours. Isn't that nice?
Amen.
All right. What we were looking at in 1 Corinthians 15. What it was in 1 Corinthians 15 there, and we saw in 23, which was the presence of Christ. To raise the dead then is identical to 1 Ephesians 1, 19 to 20. Now, you will notice that it says in Ephesians, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him. And in 1 Corinthians 15, 23, Christ at his presence. That might stumble. Why should it? Which he wrought in Christ. Christ at his presence. Jesus said, I lay my life down. I can take it again. Did he say that as a man? No way. No way. So you see, if I have power to lay it and take it down again, wrought in Christ is the same as the presence which is Christ, Logos, raising that dead. Same language, that's all I'm trying to show you. Yet here, how it is done is in Acts, Romans 8 and 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, we're still working at 1 Corinthians 15, pardon me, in the viewpoint of Ephesians 1. So now we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians. Now here's where we're going to slow down, if possible, and start looking. Okay, 23rd verse. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits. Now watch, what was the order of the New Testament? Age 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now there's an order. It's being established in resurrection. Because we are here to go to the tree of life, 7 comes back first. So 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, going up is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Alright. Every man in his own order. Every man in his right place. Christ present. Now, watch how Paul lets that stand right there. Now watch it. Every man in his own order. Christ the first fruit. After a day that a Christ is coming. Then he stops right there and lets that sit flat. Now be with me and watch this. He lets that verse stand right there flat. Now watch. Then cometh the end. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Notice. He jumps from the present, or the presence of God necessary for the resurrection, to the very end, as in verse 24, those first three lines. He jumps. You follow that? Now watch it. He jumps. He actually says, all right, here's the resurrection, first resurrection. Then he skips every single thing that might be going on, and he jumps right to the end. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered the king of God, even the Father. Now, notice in verse 28b, all things under him, that God may be all and in all. That's the same thing. Because the kingdom delivered up to the Father is God all and in all. You follow? Okay, let's go back to 24b, 24th verse, and read, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power,
And we're going to read right on to 28:8. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy shall be destroyed his death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifested that he has left that which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, put under him, under his feet, then shall the Son himself also be subject or put under unto him that put all things under him. Thus, 24b to 28a inclusive, must be what is going on from the presence of the Spirit of God on earth to raise the dead, and the final scene of conclusion of which the whole plan, when at Mount Zion, the Lamb is on the throne and God veiled in the pillar of fire over the throne. You hear what, you understand what I'm saying? From the time of his presence in a revelation to bring about a resurrection, something is going on that takes you to Mount Zion, where the Lamb is on the throne, God in spirit form in a pillar of fire over the throne, and at that time, before they call, he answers, he is all and in all. Follow? So something is going on. So you see that. Very good. How many times we warned you not to get mixed up as to who the two persons are who are spoken of in verses 24 to 28. Because somebody is putting something under the feet of somebody else. Now that's what we're talking about. Now, we establish it as God, Holy Spirit, Jehovah, who is doing the subjecting for Jesus, the risen Son of God. Let's prove it by Scripture. We go to Psalm 8. 4:8. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man thou visitest him. For thou hast made him lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou makest them to be nor the work of thy hands. As thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, and the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatever passeth through the paths of the sea. Now, that psalm establishes that God is putting under the feet of the man all creation. Everything comes under him. So Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Amen. Now watch. What we read in that psalm absolutely is the fulfillment through Jesus Christ, not Adam, of Genesis 1, 26 to 28. So let's read it. God said, let us make man their image. Jesus was the actual etching image, where God etched himself literally upon Jesus. So that whosoever saw him saw God, though an image is not the real thing. You know, the Bible said, let the earth bring forth the beast. Now, you know that the earth cannot bring forth the cattle or the beast. The horses or the cows, ridiculous. The earth can't do it. Horse was there, and the earth clothed him. That's why he goes through the same as we. Man was there, unseen, and earth clothed him. So horse stood there, unseen. So God put flesh upon him. So therefore man did not see horse. And yet, without flesh, there was no way to identify. So though the flesh was not horse, there was horse. You are not looking at Lee Vale. You think you are, but you're not. No way. But I am identified by the body. Now, the attributes that were in horse became manifested through flesh. Now, this is maybe crude, but it's not too crude. In the beginning was the Logos. Thought. Then came the expression which contained the thought. Then came the flesh which contained horse. And man could not see horse. Without the attributes made flesh, it could never be seen. You feel anything about God now? All right, now look at here. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the flesh, fish of the sea, and so on. God created man in his image. The image of God created him. Male and female created him. That's not Jesus Christ. But notice, God blessed them and said, be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish earth. Subdue it. Have many fish of the sea. Fowl of the air. Every living thing. I give you this, I give you that. But in Jesus it was. See? Now what is God doing here? God is in the process of restoration so that we can go back to that which was ordained as perfection to us and Adam broke the image. He has started it now because when you are here in the time of the resurrection, it's over. Amen. And I said, oh, well, what about this? Look, if Rockefeller gave me $1 billion, do you think I would care what the price of a gold Cadillac is? A steamboat on the Ohio River? A mansion in Hawaii? And one in Tibet to overlook the Himalayas and the beautiful grandeur? It doesn't matter when I get my hands on $1 billion. And what I'm trying to show you now, it doesn't matter what's down that road. You are in the thraldom. The complete thraldom of Christ. Not Adam anymore. Because he's here. I don't care what your senses say and your mind says. I don't care what's out there. What's with the enemy? What's there? I say, what's with me? People continuously forget how Brother Branham brought that to our attention, that precept. And I'm going to take some time on it, full sermon one of these days. Here's Sodom and Gomorrah. Everybody reads about it, as it was in the days of Sodom. Oh, isn't that horrible? Homosexuality, licentiousness. Oh, isn't that horrible? Isn't it horrible? Hey, fella, how many cripples you got here? Oh, Brother Baylor's 8,000 out of 8,000. Phew, man, that's bad. How many lepers? Oh, every one of that 800 is lepers. Anybody got any money? Oh, no. Nobody got any money. Man, you guys in bad shape. You ain't got nothing. Oh, that's right. We ain't got nothing. Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, homosexuality. Oh, terrible condition. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord, sin. Oh, help us, Lord. Shut up! Amen. Haven't you got something going for you?
Amen.
Abraham.
Amen.
Talking to God. See, they forget what the prophet taught. Down in Sodom were two witnesses. So what? Up in the hilltops, up in the hills of Judea, there was Abraham with God. Well, that's what I'm talking about tonight. When he is here, this when it really starts to get us back. I'm on my way home. See, that's what we're talking about. So, in this 8th Psalm, you cannot fail to see Genesis 1:26-28 restored to mankind in and through our union with the resurrected one. Because all things must now come under his feet. All things must be brought into a harmony. See? There'll be no more hybridization. So God at this time is doing a work in the bride that starts at his descent to be in the midst of her. And will not cease until after death is cast into the lake of fire and the bride and groom established in the new universe. All right. Now, we go into a little word study. Maybe I should skip it, but that's all right. I won't be preaching tomorrow morning, as far as I'm sure of that. I'm going to be so tired tonight. I feel a little bit almost like Samson, you know. They cut his hair off and he said, Samson, listen, whoop, he said, I'll get 6,000 before they even blink an eyelash. His strength was gone. I'm as pooped as Samson with his hair cut off tonight. I'm going to tell you flat. Don't ask me to get up here and wave my arms and preach about it, because I'm doing it tonight. So, all right. We're going to go to verse 25 now, of 1 Corinthians 15. For he must reign until all enemies are put under his feet. Now, watch. The reigning is bringing and will force into a position of complete, what's that word? Confession to Christ. Enemies. He is not turning enemies into friends. That was done. That's you and me. See? That's over. When we're enemies. Now it's friends. Now, He is reigning. Now, the word reign. Reigning is dealing with all rule and authority and power that God has allowed to be transmitted and used by others. Now, the devil doesn't have one thing that God didn't give him. He was wrong. Now, starting right now with Jesus here, everything the devil and any illegitimate force, and I speak in terms of the force not being illegitimate in its conception, but its use illegitimate, has already started to be transferred back. That's why Satan is bound by chains of circumstance. I don't care. Now, let me tell you something, brother, sister. Pentecost will not get away with the misuse of gifts. It started back. Everything has started back where God is now beginning with His presence here to take everything back. Listen to me. All things are pure to the pure in heart. God never made one thing impure. The Bible says there's nothing impure or wrong of itself. It's what is done with it. The chief, the sovereign, is here. And he says, I'm taking my power back. Never be misused again. You say, is that started? It's started. I wouldn't lie to you because the Bible wouldn't lie to you. I'm quoting the Bible. Rule. Literally so. Which then is power over something. And he said, furthermore, I'm not just taking my power back. I'm going to control you. Control flesh tonight. Is Levi going to control his flesh and walk to the tree of life? Oh, no, 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 no. I messed my life up. He's getting in control now, starting with the head. Authority. It is lawful. That's what it means. From the meaning to have permission, liberty to do as one pleases, or the right to power. Freedom. Or responsibility of its use. Now, it tells you right here that he's putting all rule and all authority down. The authority means that everything that was lawful, that people had permission to do. There's two things there. He took away the first, right? He said, I'm taking my power back. Now, what he told Adam to do is in our hands at this hour. We've got a freedom to do it. You know, I tell you, that's only sensible. My goodness me. Listen to what it says over here in 2 Corinthians. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as the glass of the glory of the Lord, are changed the same image of glory to glory by the Spirit of God. In other words, if I see this tonight, and this is a revelation which is genuine, and I hold it back to the Word, the light from the Holy Holy comes upon it, and it's mine. And I'll be able to tell that tree to move over there. I'll be able to tell this to do that. I'm right back where Adam was. Power. Actual strength. Mighty works. As in the Holy Spirit. So therefore, whether you know it or not, the mighty God is here with the full might of the Holy Spirit. The actual strength of God is here tonight. Then you don't need any. You don't need any. Who's going to get you over Jordan? Who's going to get the promised land? Who's going to take the millennium? I'll tell you one thing. You're not going to do it by yourself. No preacher, no priest, nobody's going to do it for you. It's going to be God or you ain't going. You see, that's where Israel blew it. A prophet and God in a pillar of fire. Oh, they said, give us a law. Let's try this. Let's try that. Listen, don't try anything but try believing for one.
Amen.
Why do you think Brother Branham kept singing, only believe all things are possible? That was his theme song. Oh, Brother Vail, that's because we want to see the cripples healed by the billions. Then why weren't they? The healing of the cripples was to vindicate this. That's right. Now, that is what God is doing over all His creation. Now let's look at verse 24 again. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority, for he must reign Let's apply the reigning here. Reigning is dealing with all rule and authority and power that God has allowed to be transmitted and used by others. Everything that he gave to Adam and got us in a mess will be restored. Everything that's been given to the devil and angels and spirits and all is being put right back in God's hands. Now, listen carefully what I'm saying, because I'm going to quote you the Greek by Dr. Vine. Now listen, this word reigning is in the aorist tense and is ingressive, you know, ingrate here from the Latin word, stressing point of entrance. Ingression, regression. Ingression means to come in. Now listen again. In the aorist tense, this word reigning means it's ingressive, stressing a point of entrance, or when God starts to take over the windup. You follow me? This word means it's at this time that it started. When did it start? When he came down. When he came down. Now listen, he's taking complete reigning and power over a bride. Like a person hypnotized. So this revelation controls. You are now out of your own control into his control. It started in 1963. Let's go back and find it. It's in Revelation chapter 10. Verse 1. And I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. Who came down? God came down. God came down. He's the only one with a rainbow. I hear there's a kind of a rainbow doctrine coming out now or something. You can have it. Merciful heaven. All right. Why can't people just be happy? Look, Brother Branham one day said to me, we sat in the room. He said, Lee, can you see the letters of fire on the wall? I said, no, Brother Branham, but I see the man who sees the letters of fire on the wall, and I'm perfectly happy.
Praise God.
If you're looking for some revelation, be my guest, but don't annoy me, please. My stomach has gotten very sensitive recently, and I don't want to lose my dinner. I paid for it. A mighty messenger came down with a rainbow, clothed in a cloud of glory and wonderment. Face as it were the sun, the light is broken from yonder east. Feet as pillars of fire brought us back to foundation, brought us back to originality, brought us back to foundation. Foundation? What foundation? When he sat there trillions of years, coordinated all of his thoughts, and then began to move. Brother, sister, what a creation lies here. Listen, come on down here and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven. Who did? The Logos. Things that are there in the earth, things that are there in our in the sea, and the things that are there in, there shall be time no longer. But in the days of that seventh mysterious prophet of the seven church age, every mystery of the gospel will be cleared up as God hath declared it. See, when did it start? It started when he came down. Now this takeover keeps on until the last enemy, which is death or separation from God, is destroyed. Now death is separation from God. Look at it. You know, let me tell you something. Does God really need a lake of fire? Well, you say he does because he said so. That's fine by me. But let me just ask you one question. What if God withdrew himself? It's all over. That's why we are back to union, where God does not withdraw himself. He has now come to say, look, we are back together again. I am here, and is going to stay that way. Right. Now, do you believe that he came down?
Amen.
Now, we've proved that he came down. Well, is he going to take us back? Is he ever going to leave us? No way. It has started. See, I've preached this for years, and you know it. It started. It's not going to go back. Now, it is time for John 11 and 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Oh, look. Brother, sister, we're not babies anymore. We can see these scriptures come out of the Bible at us. When did he say that? when he was on earth. When is the only time he can say it? Is when he's on earth. Is he on earth? Yes. Then what's he saying? You are not going to die. That's why I don't believe in resurrection. For me. For you. I'm not saying I might not die. Look, let's get this flat. The way I look at things right now, I would jolly well like to be out of here by tomorrow morning. Or before tomorrow morning. You want to know the truth. But I don't have any promise of the resurrection. I'm living. I've got a promise because he's here. I've got to see what he said, hear what he said, believe what he said, and become a part of it. Look, when he was here and he raised Lazarus, Lazarus died right back to the ground. In fact, let me tell you the truth. It is said that when the Jews found out that Lazarus was such a strong testimony, they tried to bump him off. They wanted to get rid of him. So, that won't happen this resurrection, of course. But you see what I'm talking about. I'm not dead. Now, I want to see the dead come out of the ground, so I'll know I'm ready to be changed. You follow what I'm saying? All right, now listen, that's fine. I'm glad you follow, because I'm going to go right that where Paul the Apostle said the same thing. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Oh, Paul, I thought we all had to die to be in the resurrection. He said, hold it right there. There's a mystery. The living will not die. Then why do we want to die? Why are we looking for death? Where does it say in the scripture? I don't know, but it says, I shall not die but live. All right? Because he's here. Now see, listen. Corruption set in. Back in Genesis chapter 3, isn't it? Right in 2, I guess it started in there. I'd look it up, but no matter. Incorruption set in 1963. 80. Are you catching what I'm saying? Oh, enemy death, where is your sting? You've lost your punch, boy. You've lost your power. You see what I'm trying to tell you? You're still looking out there saying, oh, enemy. Death. Oh, trouble. Look, forget it. Why do you want to look at it for? Six people starving, look at each other. What about those four guys died, starving, those lepers starving, and they said, well, if we go in the city, you know what it is. There's death and starvation in there. And the other leper said, yeah, he said, ain't no use going back in there. And the other fellow said, well, if we go to the Syrian, they see us lepers, they'll kill us. Well, they said, look, at least the Syrians got something. That bird got nothing. So what do you say we just go down to the Syrians? And you know what happened? They took the whole thing over. You know, when Rahab saw that army circling, she said, aha, ha, ha, ha. I know something they don't know. She had a revelation. And she said, come on, come on, come into my place, come into my place. And you know something? History proves that that wall fell down flat except that one house. On the wall where Rahab lived. Every joint and mortar. And you know bricks don't go fat, like one on top of another. But to see those things up there, that's not the way bricks are. They join over. God just split the wall. Apart from brick marks. And everything went down. It like was laid down flat. They never tumbled down. They were laid down flat. And Rahab stood there. She had a revelation. She was part of the revelation. I shall not die but live. Now, I got to say that. Before God, I admit, I could die. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm telling you people, you watch it. You're younger. Don't associate with death. Associate with life. Because he's here. The one who said, I can lay my life down and take it was not kidding. Because God raised. It was Logos. It was Elohim. It was Emmanuel who said that. See? All right. Now, this will end in complete reconciliation because flesh and blood, though it will not inherit the kingdom of God, this is flesh and bone and not blood, will inherit the kingdom of God. See, we are becoming legitimate inheritors moment by moment. Just you something? Listen, folks. Let's get this straight. All these years we waited, fussed and shoot. Oh, since 77. And 77 passed by, and Brian can tell you, they went haywire, and Lee Vale can tell you how they went haywire, and I didn't know some of my best preacher friends behind my back were preaching 77, and I said, hold it, hold it. You know I preached it and told you the signs aren't in. They went haywire. See, I'm going to tell you something. They don't understand what we understand, that we are now in the process of complete reconciliation. They were looking at something out there that wasn't made real to them. Brother, sister, listen, a date means nothing. A date means nothing. It only compounds the problem. Let me say that on March the 1st, April 15th, is that what it is? IRS. I owe them $5,000 and I haven't got 5 cents. And every day closer, they're getting sicker and sicker. What does your date do for you? Mess you up.
Amen.
What do you care about dates?
Right.
Be also ready. That's what God's trying to tell us. It isn't He couldn't tell us a date. It's not to stand back and guess and fool and be a nut. He's trying to tell you a date will not do anything for you.
Amen.
If you're part of Him, you got it made. If you're not, Revelation. Now, enemies, in verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 15, for all enemies must be put under His feet. The word enemy means a hostile one. They are anti-word, as was Cain. Where is your brother? Shut up, how do I know? The hostile ones are like Cain. So all outside what was in the original must go. For it's like a sliver in the finger. A sliver is an enemy to my body. It is something injected and causes death to the cells around it. And there's enough that will kill me entirely. That which has been injected must go. Then add a word, take a word. Bride won't add a word or take a word. They'll rejoice in every word, every vitamin of God. God has settled the elimination of those that we're talking about as enemies. As in Matthew 24 and verse 40. Then shall two be in the field, one taken, the other left. Separating time. Separating time. All the old creeds and dogmas were gone, being knocked aside. Separating times were going on. God separating. This will go on to the end. All right? Then they're subjecting. And you remember I connected that to the shout because the word shout is a military command, and the word subjecting is a military order, and I do not mean an order, though someone's screaming at you. I mean a plan. A placing. Now notice, when enemies are eliminated, as in Matthew 21, 40 to 41, that's another elimination we're looking at. See, the elimination is going on right now. He's choosing a bride, see? Now 20, 40, 41, and when the Lord therefore the vineyard comes, what to do that, those husbandmen? And they say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits of their seasons. That's coming up now. He'll wipe the earth off of the unclean and put the bride down on it. See, now listen. All of these are words in the Bible, and I'm telling you what's going on now. Now, contrarywise, as this group is being eliminated, there is another group coming up who come out of Babylon in chapter 18 and 4 of Revelation. Come out of her, my people, and listen to him, having come out, sup with him. See, that's going on. Now, what's doing is this. There is a ranking, not so much as the thought under him, as with the rod of iron, or a superimposition of his will over the disobedient, but with him. But watch, now watch. John 14 and 3. Now, I'm trying to help you here to get your minds on what's real and what's yours. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself,
that where I am, there you may be also. That's subjection. That is the ranking. Because you see, the Bible tells every beginning, the middle, the plan, what's contrary, what's right, and the disposition of both. And this is disposition time. Everything's falling in order. You know you're falling in order under Christ. Body head, body to head. Mind to mind, will to will. What we are actually viewing is the start of return to Eden, which requires the elimination of the inharmonious and the stepping up to perfection of the harmonious until it is as in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 to 9. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. That started. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and young lion, the fattening together, little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like an ox. The sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass. The weaned child put his hand in the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt and destroy an alma holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Notice, the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. And it said, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him has started.
Amen.
It started. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. That's going on right now. It's not down the road, brother, sister. It'll come to pass in that day the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant's people. When he's here and the Gentiles are coming to him because it's a Gentile bride, God will bring in Israel to the homeland and turn back to Israel. This is to me also Romans 7. Pardon me. 1 to 6. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth, but if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband lives, she married another man, she is called an adulteress. Husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that you should bring forth fruit unto God. What fruit are we to bring forth at this hour? The husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth. He's here to get it. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which are by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. That's right. There's a law right now working. But it's got to stop. You know what I'm saying? You won't be doing the things you've been doing. You won't be perfect. Not till resurrection time. But something begins to happen. Something we wanted, that sweet spirit of Christ just before the resurrection that Brother Brand saw in the curtain of time. He told me that I'm just going to have it, whether it's on this side or that side, it makes no difference to me. But you see, I'm looking at what he said I could have. But now we are delivered from the law that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in old letter. I'm not going to take this, Brother Branham. I'm just making a point here. Look, this is happening this hour. There's a change going on. And that change is a change which God Himself has foreordained and is instituting. This bringing together a full body, or this brings together a full body, fully reconciled, and it started. Now listen. The ingressive action of God. That's what this is all about. God has started this, which is guaranteed to cover every event and eventuality until there is a supreme oneness in New Jerusalem. Now, brother, sister, I'm going to try to tell you something here. If you see what I am seeing, and your revelation places you in this hour, what I'm telling you, you've already made it to the New Jerusalem. Why? Because it's the ingress of the point where God started in 1963 under the seals. You can't. Now, if you want a date, you got a good date right there. You're not going to go back. You look at Ephesians 1 and 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, time runs out, when he comes down, prophet in the land, he might gather together in one. Oh, people say, hallelujah, I'll see old Father Abraham, I'll see Jacob, I'll see this. You're missing the point, brother, as far as I'm concerned. I don't see individuals anymore. I see him and his perfect plan, which takes in everybody and everything. Before there was a fish with a fin, he had to have water to swim in. Before any of us come down here to take over in the millennium, there will be miraculous reconstruction as we walk upon the ashes of the wicked and live the life that Adam cut off, but Jesus Christ restored. See what I'm looking at? Listen, brothers and sisters. The blood paves the way. Now it is time for God to move on that for which provision was made by that blood. It will end up as Isaiah 65 and 24. That takes us back to the millennium, no doubt. And it'll come to pass before they come. This is New Jerusalem, I'll answer. And while they're speaking out here, this is where we're heading. In the meantime, God is here bringing a bride into harmony with himself. Oh, you say, Brother Vale, you've been talking a lot about you and me looking at those great promises, and now you talk about harmony. What do you mean? Oh, I'm so glad you asked the question. I like folk who ask questions. Listen. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud, and so let us lay aside every weight. And the sin which thus we beset us, that's unbelief, running with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and sat down the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Let me find you something else here. I went too far. Let me go back to the 11th chapter. And it says here, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive inheritance, obeyed, and he went on not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, tents, with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of the promise of him. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And I go back to the 4th chapter of Romans, and I read what he said. Who, when hope was gone, hoped on in faith, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, nor the jibes, nor the doctors, nor the clowns, nor the fools, nor the aches, nor the pains. He wasn't interested. He said, "Nothing of that's for nothing is for me." He staggered not the promise of God to him. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he promised is able to perform. And Paul takes every son of Abraham right over here to the 8th chapter. And he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ at this end time? Fat tribulation? Said, I'm not interested. What's that got to do with me? Well, what if it comes? So what has it still got to do with me? Distress? I'm not interested. Persecution, I've got no time to analyze it. Famine, I can't be bothered. Nakedness, so what has happened before? Peril or sword, what are you talking about? All day long we're killed. A counter sheep, so what? We are more than conquerors. I've got a persuasion. There's nothing going to separate me at this hour. You got a persuasion, brother, sister? You better have it. That's what a revelation is all about, see? We're heading that way. Now listen. In the meantime, God is here bringing a bride into harmony with himself. It is the last day of spousal marriage, patterned. The cloth has been cut, the garment being sewn up. This union is where she and the Father become one, but only because of him. Let's go back to Jeremiah 3. You getting tired? I hope you're not, because, man, if you're tired, you just better think me up here. I'm doing all the work. Number 6, 3 and 6, the Lord God said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel done? She has gone up under every high mountain and under every green tree, and there she's played the harlot. 12 to 14. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return thou backsliding Israel, said the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married to you, and I will take you of one city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. What is that all about? Malachi 4 and 6. Turning the hearts of the children back to the fathers. It's Acts the 3rd chapter. When he comes at the end time with signs and wonders to bring us. What is he doing? Let me show you, brother, sister, what he's doing. I'm just running through this rapidly, but you can catch my thoughts. 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. I'm jealous, or is it godly jealousy? But I fear, if any minds as a serpent beguile you subtilely, so your mind be corrupted, speaks in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches what? Another Jesus, number 1. If he receives another spirit, number 2. And what is another gospel? It took 3 things. Another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel, and they fell into whoredom. Now listen, if you get your understanding right tonight that you know the true Jesus, you have the true spirit and the true word, you are married, restored bride. You heard it said?
Amen.
Well, you say, Brother Vail, I don't know. I need this great thing. Shut up and listen.
Amen.
Confess your sins that you were in the whoredoms of creeds and dogmas and false cults and an ungodly belief, which was a disbelief. A virgin, the right Jesus. Who is he? Not a third person. No way. A right spirit. I'm not talking about atmosphere. Who the Holy Spirit really is. And that word. And you're back. You're married. You follow what I'm saying? So you got your eyes way out here looking around. And all the things you talk about concerning you and yourself and everybody else. And you're wrong tonight, brother says. You're wrong. You're wrong. We married a young couple today. I'm a very handsome old geezer. But Tim took it away. I saw some nice girls there. But Carla had them beat hands down. You know, so I'm trying to tell you something. Look at him who's here.
Amen.
And what he said. Because his word alone endures. And he said, you just tell me back that you've been messed up. I'll forgive you. You see what we're talking about tonight? And all these messages, the right name. See, my brother Brandon preached and wife ought to want to follow in his steps to do the same thing. Who is this Jesus? Who is the Holy Spirit? Tell me the word of God.
Praise God.
If you're back, you're back. Now listen, if you go too far back, you're out again. Huh? Take away, add. Can you leave it where it is? Most people in this message can't leave it where it is. They're going to miss the resurrection. I'm not lying to you. You know I'm not lying to you. Because I know the scripture. Stand still and see the salvation of God. Listen. Oh, man. Let me tell you what you do. You read Ephesians 2:11 to 22, then notice the provision in verse 13. This is on tape. See what lies in it in verses 14 to 18, and see where it leads in 19 and 22. Now that's talking about that beautiful church that's one that's coming all in heaven or so on. Now, you see it consummated. We see it consummated, so God, not another, is in full charge. And now he is starting to destroy all enemies, to take back to himself his full power and authority for the exclusive use of his own. Revelation 19 and 15. Now you know Revelation 19, 15 has to do with the great one whose name is the Word of God upon that horse. And it says in the 15th verse, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, with it he should smite the nations, and rule with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. It's already started. See, because he comes back with the bride. Now, this is a major reason for great
the great ministry of Christ returning to the earth, proving he is now fulfilling all he could not fulfill at the time he was here in his flesh. You follow what I said? The ministry of Christ returned to this earth, vindicating his presence and establishing a prophet for the word. See? Now, that took place for the specific purpose of fulfilling the unity of Christ in a bride. What we're talking about. Now, and as he does this, it is inevitable that the bride and all in the sovereign plan come into a harmony with him. Not one attribute of man or talent of man goes into this. It is not character. It is not fruit. It is not charismatic gifts. It is not nearness to God. It is not obedience to God. See? Now, all creation, according to Romans 8, 18 to 23, is waiting on the bride. Now, I'm going to take you someplace else now. I quoted already, but I'm going to go to James 5, 7, 8, and listen. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the presence of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and has got long patience until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye patient. Establish your heart, for the presence of the Lord draweth nigh. And it tells you right here, the presence of God is going to raise the dead. It says the presence of God is going to bring the former rain at the time of the latter rain. So therefore, the revelation, which is perfectly renewed, and not only renewed, but augmented and fulfilled because it comes in this hour, is going to bring the dead out of the ground. Is going to change us. Is going to take us in a rapture. Is going to come back and destroy the wicked entirely. Is going to set up a beautiful kingdom upon the earth. And is going to keep moving and moving and moving until New Jerusalem. Then I believe God is going to sit above there in the flame of fire. Because you see, he brought forth all his great redemption. When he sat back there for trillions of years and thought it all out. And I wouldn't be surprised he'll sit there for trillions of more years. While he thinks of something more wonderful. And another great plan. I believe that. I can't prove it. I don't have to prove it. I'm a believer, see? Because once God started moving, there is no turning back. There is no way, my brother and my sister. Now you can read for yourself. On page 119, original words, spoken words, original seed. It talks about a harmony. There's no way but God can make this happen. All right. We've studied it. We believe it. We believe he's here. We believe that God is here. We believe Alpha and Omega is here. We believe all in all is here. And he, by his sword, the word, is bringing down all strongholds and restoring a bride, making her finally and completely one with him. He is doing it, not she. He is the author and finisher, not she. He is doing a work of rest and restoration by revelation in the bride. We saw that in 2 Corinthians. She simply ministers back to him what was given by the prophet. And so tonight, brother, sister, we will leave it that way. You do what you want. I'm going to leave it that way. I've got to leave it that way, brother, sister. Brother Bill, the way you talk, I kind of got an idea you're trying to get across this. You can come to a super place where you just live above it. No, my brother, sister. I get doubts every day, and I've got to stop and say no. No. No more. I'm not a super creature, but I'm going to be one. Because he said there is a super race, a super, super race approaching unto the head. I'm part of that. I've got to believe that tonight. See, because you see, this word has begun to work. It's not another word. You'll say, well, Brother Bale, the charismatics have what you're talking about. These people, other people have what you're talking about. That's very nice. Look, I'm going to tell you something. I'm talking about what I have in this word, not another word.
Amen.
Because their word is not this word.
Amen.
It is another word.
Amen.
This Jesus is not their Jesus. They have another Jesus. This spirit is not their spirit. They have another spirit. And let me tell you this. This is the day of confusion where God himself confuses. Their revelation is the wrong revelation. And they are part of their revelation, which is death. And the last plague that hit Egypt was spiritual death. I am not in spiritual death. I am in spiritual life. I've got to believe it.
and I stand with it. For what he did for me, I cannot turn back on him. If he made me guiltless, I will not say for 1 minute I am guilty. There's no way. If he said I'm one with him, there's no way I'll not say. You say, Brother Vail, I've been looking at you. And people do. I'm going to tell you this fact. I have had letters. I've had them look in my face. I'm going to tell you now. You're going to be a hypocrite tonight. You're going to leave this building changed. You're going to be set free, or you're going to be condemned. I'm going to prove whether you believe the prophet or not. You look at Lee Vail. You say, Brother Vail, I've looked. There's one change. What do you want? You say, character. You made the prophet a liar. He said it wasn't character.
Amen.
You say, Brother Vail, I don't see much fruit. I never said you would. You say, I want to see fruit. You're a liar sitting in the pew. I'm sorry to hurt your feelings, but God is my judge. I cannot tell you different because the time is too late. You're liars. The prophet said it wasn't fruit.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying there's not fruit. I'm not saying there isn't character. But it's not even obedience. You know why? Because he was the obedient one.
Amen.
It's his obedience that's being filled tonight. I said, God is doing it. He said to prostitute Israel, you spread your legs to every Arabian. He said, you stink. You're a mess. You're so filthy with your sexual favors. You're like a prostitute who makes her living. And when she finished her intercourse for money, she got her price that meant bread. And it's no different eating a piece of bread and wiping your mouth. And he said, you got a whore's forehead. But he said, I marry you. The marriage vows of age number one hold true, my brother, my sister. They never changed. And that woman at the end time was called out of a church. There was the hold of every foul spirit and every rotten devil. And he said, come out of her. It wasn't her character. She didn't have any. It wasn't her fruit. She'd messed it up. It wasn't obedience. She spit in her husband's face. It wasn't any of those things. It was grace.
Amen.
See, you want to watch your words tonight and watch yourself. I've told you this hour, time after time. I've stuck with certain definitive things the prophet taught. I will not stick with a broad message of a million quotes. You can have your quotes. I'm sticking with what he said that is pertinent to me. Not that it's all not pertinent. But I'm looking at what he said. He said, it's not this, it's not this, it's not this. Five things, that's grace. What is it? It is God. And he's here. And the point of ingression, the point of starting. Listen, do you realize, brother, sister, we are a starting point? We are a starting point. Now, it should make you happy, but not proud. Listen, these things I am telling you is why Paul said, we, and I quote it, in case my memory should fail me, I'm going to make sure my memory does not fail me, because I'll go right to the epistle, and I'll read it right here. And it says, we that are alive and remain under the presence of the Lord shall not take a precedence over those that sleep or anybody else. But we are a trigger people. We are a reversal people. Right. Where the trend stops. It starts to go back. The hearts of the children to the fathers. That bring the dead out of the ground. That bring on the millennium. Because he's here. I'm telling you what belongs to us, brother and sister. I'm not standing here with an effervescent joy. In fact, I didn't think I could even preach tonight. I reached one of the lowest ebbs in my life in the last 48 hours. But I don't care if hell turns loose. The gates of hell will try to destroy this message and destroy me and destroy you. Let me tell you now, get this flat, I'm not kidding you. And that's none of your business what I know. That's my business. But let me tell you, the gates of hell are against the gates of God.
Amen.
they'll not prosper.
That's right. Amen.
You and I may go down in death, so they won't prosper. You'll lose friends, everything else. The squeeze hasn't really begun. It's just a little momentum picking up. But it's not going to win. Gird up the loins of your mind now, brother, sister. Put that shield of faith up. Not as though you're charismatic and you're going to make things work. But you know that He is here to make things work. You follow me? We're talking about a beautiful subjection. Subjection of my hand that can pick up any weight. Because the head not only tells it, but the hand and arm has been empowered to do it. We are being subjected. The divine order of God has appeared on the universe. We're a part of it. This is the consolation I see that brings that faith of Abraham to a full persuasion. Abraham couldn't look at anything but what was for him, and there was nothing for him but the Word of God. I said years ago, not knowing what I know tonight, out there is nothing for you, but here there is everything for you. Then don't worry what's out there. If you're walking in the light, you're growing in His grace, don't worry about anything. It's too late. The day is far spent. That's right. The evening shadows are falling on the world. But, see, I'm on the other side of the world, where the sun never sets. Can't, brother, sister. Do you follow what I'm saying? He started something. He has started something. We're a part of it. That's right. Of grace and beauty. Of all things satisfying. Of all things perfect. We're so glad that you've started this. This is the ingression. This is the starting point. The descent. The opening. All of those things, the trigger, and we're part of it. No wonder the prophet said, I'd sooner be here at this time than any other time. But we give Thee all the glory, Lord, because there's not one of us that are standing here in obedience or in fruit or in character or in the power or this or that, Lord. But we're standing here because You came down and called us by name and called us out. That we stood still seeing something until we could hear. And the hearing brought a vision, a revelation. And we're grateful, Lord. And I know the devil will do his best to knock this on the head for us. I know, Lord, that he will, but I know You won't let him. And I know the gates of hell will come, but one day the gates of hell will tremble and fold. And we will look narrowly upon him and say, was this the one who caused all that problem? Because he'll be so insignificant in Your presence, and in ours even because of Your presence. And we'll be just jarred at how nothing was a nothingness in the light of the somethingness. Oh God. Oh God, tonight, enrich us, please, with this one thing, revelation. Red hot, no cold, no lukewarm, red hot. Now, Father, I'm ready to stand as I've stood all these years, especially the last two, believing with all my heart what I believe and began to come back. And tonight, Lord, by faith, by Your word, I believe, God, we've taken another step forward, gone into a different depth, a deeper depth of revelation, and now we're standing back until that takes hold. Just can't believe it otherwise. Can't believe for 1 minute, Lord, that You'd speak something from nothingness
There's no way you'd fail now, no way that your word will ever fail, but we hear the prophet echoing back three times in the rapture sermon, thus it has been spoken, thus it shall be. And I believe, Lord, that's what it's all about, what you're doing now. You've come on down to set the whole thing in order. And we have become a foundation. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Pillars in the temple of God. Everything, Lord, in the focus as your prophet taught us. We're so grateful. Now, Father, if we've been wrong in our speech or our thinking, we've done anything which has been displeasing, forgive us, Lord. We know we have. Just forgive us. I know that's all we need to say. That's all. Be all wiped out. Move the cobwebs out, Lord. Kill the spiders that bring the cobwebs, those things there. And I sing, O Lord, to the revelation. I know you won't let us down, Lord, because we didn't boast in ourselves tonight. No way, shape, or form. No way. I believe, Lord, you'll take us all the way through. And we thank you for it. And now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's sing that little song Brother Branham always sang, Only Believe, and we'll sing Jesus is Here. You see, it's much easier to believe for food if the food is on the table, right? Anybody can dig in. I look, isn't it easier then if he's here to believe? It's easier to believe we talked about if he's here to do it. My goodness me, I have no trouble believing, you know, that I'm going to get a nice pile of wood because the brethren got me a nice pile of wood. Thank you, boys. No problem. And he's here. He's here. The problems are gone. Let's sing it. Only believe and sing Jesus is here. Okay, well, we got a pianist. Wonderful. You haven't got a singer up here, but you got a pianist. I don't know what key it's in. It's on a piano key there somewhere.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe, all things are possible. Only believe.
Sing it, Jesus is here.
Jesus is here.
And worship him.
All things are possible. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. All things are possible. Jesus is here.
You know he's here. He hasn't released his resurrection power yet, but he's here. You know he's here and he hasn't released that sweet spirit in the church that's beyond the curtain of time, but he's here to do it. You know he's here to see the gifts as it were placed on the shelf and healing go all amongst us. He's here. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I believe it. I believe it. I might not be a part, my brother, sister. I may go off the sea because I know that only too well. But I'm not believing that way. I'm believing the other way that I'm going to be here. I believe I want it on this side, not on the other side. I just believe that in my heart. Do you believe tonight that he who is the resurrection is here?
Amen.
Then you must believe that you're going to see the dead come out of the grave. Or why would you believe it? You couldn't believe the resurrection, he being here, and not see the dead come out of the grave. If you simply believe he's the resurrection, and you don't believe the dead are going to come out and you're going to see him, then you're believing 1,000 years away. The general resurrection. I'm not going to be there except to sit. Yeah. But I'm going to see the dead come out of the grave. I've got to because he said so. You can't look at anything out here anymore, but it won't do you any good. But Jesus is here. All things are possible. What all things? Oh, not to put a fresh coat of paint in the wall. He's not going to do that. He's not going to put drops of blood up there and Virgin Mary's in statue form with crying tears out of it. He's not going to do those things. He's here to do what he said he would do in this hour. Now, what did he say he would do? He's here to do it. You're not going to miss it. Why would you miss it? Why would a man call you, the lawyer call you, to the reading of the will? If you weren't a part of it, why would he do it? See, get your eyes on reality tonight. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Reality. See, if I needed food, I'm going to look for food. If I need water, I'm going to look for that water. See? So look what he told me. Don't look anymore. Don't even look at Scripture anymore. I'm going to preach on it. I'll show you why. I'll show you how to take Scripture and turn it right around and make it work for you. I'm not going to change one word, though. I'll just change your thinking. I can do it. You know why? Because I got a word to show you how it's done. You say, Brother Dale, you done it? No, I'm just thinking about it. You might have caught it tonight. Some of you are pretty foxy. Pretty screwed by now. I don't know. But I know we should sing it one more time. Jesus is here. And then Brother Pete. Jesus is here. Believe it and mean it and worship him.